Oh.
Agenda item.
Yes.
And we have nobody on the line either. We have minutes for a correction approval for January 19th. Does anybody have any comments on those? If not, we'll take them as presented. New business. Actually, if you don't mind, do you want to pull up the ACB to the beginning for the safety report? That up, so we're going to take new business number six. This is the AACBB 2020 municipal marketing plan.
All right, Cord is here. Jane's also coming?
No, he's not.
Okay. Are you prepared to run through the slides?
Yeah.
I'll show them up here on the screen, and since nobody's attending remotely, I'm not going to share it there. Unless somebody joins us. So I'll pull these up here, and Cord is going to give us an overview of the year in, well, I guess it's 2 years now, or three, I don't know. It all blends together. The year in marketing that we contribute to, and then the intent of this is just to get some feedback on the actual spending plan for our Yorkville-specific marketing. So, Cort, take it away.
So, as you all know, we have a part-time use marketing plan that we roll out for our supporting communities. With COVID, it was kind of put on hold for a little while, but we're fully expecting 2022 is going to be a banner year for tourism in the region, so we're coming back out and introducing our marketing program with our communities. Start out with just a real quick kind of a recap of where we are so far in 2022 to kind of show the growth we had moving out of COVID. So just looking at our local regional hotel reports, we can see that we are really moving quickly ahead of 2020, which was obviously a dog of the year. And actually, we're very optimistic. A lot of our numbers are now starting to surpass 2019. And 2019 was a banner year for tourism in our region. So we're actually seeing all of our numbers moving back to those 2019 numbers and surpassing them, which is good. So we expect 22 to continue on that same course. So what we'd like to do for our marketing plan, here for Yorkville especially, is promote Yorkville as a destination within the larger destination, but give Yorkville its own brand, its own messaging, and hopefully drive people here just to Yorkville for dining, obviously, hopefully hotel stays. That's where we all seek to make our money, our hotel stays, so we want to drive people to the hotels. The attractions, the events, downtown, those kind of things. So how do we create a brand, a tourism brand for Yorkville that we could also incorporate into the larger regional brand as well? Looking back to 2019, which again was a banner year, just some real quick marketing results from that year in 2019. So through our program, we delivered 3.6 million advertising impressions for the city of Yorkville and over 212,000 website visits for Yorkville travel content. Whether it's on our site, the Yorkville site, or the Go Yorkville URL that we kind of direct all of the information to. So, and look at that growth from 17 to 19, kind of what our trend was 2 years ago, and we hope then to surpass 2019 again. So we were on a really good trajectory there for our marketing program with Yorkville things kind of itself with COVID, but we certainly expect to be back to the 19 levels in 22. And then, so looking at what we would like to do this year, you know, what we're proposing to the city, and certainly, you know, it's all up for discussion. We review the plan and let you look at it, and then we can tweak it as if nothing here is definite or booked or, you know, written in stone. So looking at how we plan to break down the marketing dollars for Yorkville, is print is about $12,000. Photo and video content, and then we can go out and hire photographers, videographers to grab some of the content from the local area, and then with about $2,000, and then digital. We're getting about $12,000 also, which includes our social media, digital content, marketing, and digital activations for Yorkville specific. So we really do kind of split the print and digital 50-50 in this plan. There you go. A couple of our major publications that we're looking at are Chicago Magazine and Liberal Magazine. So looking at more of a broader Chicago regional audience with the Chicago Magazine, and hopefully get people from the city and the closing suburbs come out this way to enjoy the amenities of Fox River and what Yorkville has to offer. But also looking at how we get the bigger populations out of the western suburbs also to come out here. And hopefully we can be great, but they come out here today for some of the events here in Yorkville makes sense. So we can reach a great audience between Naperville Magazine and also the Chicago Magazine also. And then by doing this, you know, we can turn out promotional opportunities from our own owned and managed channels. So our travel newsletters, our online display advertising, our search advertising, you know, SEO and SEM and Google AdWords kind of things, our social media, text messaging, which is relatively new for us, and then obviously our website and visitor guides also that talk about the region and in general. Always includes the Yorkville information in there. So this is kind of how the marketing plan breaks down. And what we're looking at in terms of actual spend. So in-house social and digital advertising, which we all do in-house, we don't farm that out to anybody. James does all that out of our office. We're not paying a firm to do that for us. About 11,000. The Chicago Magazine, Go West Guy, is 8,000, and that is actually for a two-page spread that would be specific for Yorkville. And that will be in May of 22. And then Naperville Magazine is about 2,500, and that's for the River City's editorial and email sponsorship. And in our plan, it says June. We got word yesterday that they've actually moved that editorial to May of this year. So we'd like to keep it in there, but just so you know that as of yesterday, they moved that back 1 month, so they're River City's editorial will come out in May, their May issue rather than the June issue. But we're still recommending that we keep that in there. And early in the season, in the planning season, we have any kind of travel and events, and it gives a great opportunity to highlight everything that Yorkville has to offer in the spring and summer. And then voting the new production, again, $2,000. I know it's only been a couple of years, but a lot has changed already in those 2 years all over time, so it's time to come get new, fresh content for our people, whether it's video or photos. So we want to get some events and some of the activities downtown. Our State Point Media, which is travel content, highlighting all the ways Magazine, then we get spring, summer, same thing with April Magazine. State Point meeting, a little bit more of a spring summer, which ties into some activities, the river, the downtown events here in New Yorkville, and then certainly a lot of park activities here as well. And then really spring summer, and then we get back in the fall, holiday again for additional support event for my taxes, social media, and email, as a little media events are going out for Yorkville. And the Go Guide is year-round, it's always in print. We are working right now on doing an update for the visitor guide, not doing a full new guide. As we're coming out of COVID, we're going to do a quick print. We're going to change the cover, update the listings and things that are in the magazine, and then do a short run, and then we're going to come back next year and do a full movie guide. But we just want to get at least a fresh guide out without having to spend dollars for the whole movie guide. And then we can update our content that really exists in the guide as well. And we're really excited to talk about education news to all of our communities is our Destination Intelligence program that we hope to start rolling out and onboarding in March. Really can give us a lot of very cool and useful information for all of our stakeholders. We can geofence regions, area, downtown Yorkville, the water park, whatever we want to do, and free intelligence to executives coming to Yorkville on any weekend. So if you want to, you know, geofence Riverfront Park during summer solstice, we can do that, and we can tell you who was at summer solstice for those 2 or 3 days, and where you came from, and the demographics of who your visitor is. So it's a great program. It's nice that the technology is there, and there's enough of it now that it's more affordable. It's always been available, but it's a little bit highly expensive and out of our budget. But there's enough players in the market now that those prices are starting to come down. So we're excited about being able to provide this and be this resource for all of our community partners on Destination Intelligence. And it's going to be really cool information.
Thank you. That's it. No, I generally we're supportive of the program that's been in place. It's similar to what we used to do pre-COVID, and rather than get into with trying to tweak it this year, I felt it was, you know, okay to just see what pops up this year after we try this, and then, you know, maybe think about altering it for next year. So
the content of the program, the plan matrix that was presented, this is something that's collaborated on with Parks and Rec staff, what they feel is the most beneficial to the city. So between the CBB staff and our staff, there's back and forth on what we want, how we achieve it. And that's where, when this program was set up, there was a certain amount of money that we decided to go to each community. And there's the input from the municipality to make sure that we're getting what we feel is good for destination travelers. The plan looks good. There's some new additions to it, which is nice. What's being added without cost. Anybody have questions or comments on the proposal?
Just the difference in the digital as opposed to the print.
No.
Have you found in the last several years more success in drawing tourism based on digital interaction as opposed to the print? I know it's probably easier to track digital, but
it is. We can learn from our audience too on the digital and social. You could really, you know, dig down into who your audience is. I think when we look at everybody likes to see the pictures, you know, I mean, it's always a nice presentation and a visual that we can bring in copies of Chicago Magazine and you know, really show our stakeholders this is how it looks in print and that important. But I think truly we get a better read on our audience through digital and social, because we can better focus and target, you know, zero in on a real detailed audience that way. And again, it's, our trackability is much better too. On a bigger scale, we do a lot of print ads in magazines that provide
volume with the Go Guide. You know, in terms of our trend, I know it's something that we talked about being the CPP board member here. Over the years I've been on, we've seen a trend change kind of how many requests we have and how many Go Guides go out there. So can you talk a little bit about the trend change requests, how many of those we end up sending out for our guide?
You know, it's weird because, you know, honestly, if I was sitting here 10 years ago, I would have said print guides I want. Don't bother printing the business guide ever again. We're seeing this gap from that. People do like to get a guide in the mail and plan their trip, or when they're in market, they like to have something in their car with them and looking for restaurants or shopping. And a lot of our messaging, especially digital and social, is to drive people to our website and get them to request a video guide. That's always kind of a really good measurement for us, is how many people are requesting information. We know they go to the website, and once they're on the website, we might kind of lose them. Whereas if we know they're going, or spend the time to fill out the form to get the visitor guide, we know they're serious. So we have a good potential trend on. And we've seen our visitor guide requests and mails. We have well surpassed 2019 already. The requests of our visitor guide are now, and that's why we're printing. You know, we obviously, during COVID, it was slower in terms of mailing, but we've seen such an increase in the last, you know, say 3 or 4 months for a visitor guide, that there is definitely a need to reprint, refresh what we have now. People still like to get the guide in their hand. It's a real nice tool and selling piece. Can't line it with your guide, honestly.
In the guides that we have, is there any type of package deal that's been put together, like with boarding and like the water park and rooms, you know, like a whole one-stop shop package that's been set up? Have you ever considered doing anything like that?
Your hotels do that already.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the water park will work with the hotels. They'll create packages that include tickets. We will promote those packages. We don't sell them, but we don't take money in transactions. But then we will sell some of this money, you know, some of the market dollars to promote those pre-packaged water park weekends.
So I guess what I'm asking is, if they go to the website and they look at that, those options are available, what they can purchase for that.
Yes, and we've got the hotel where you can purchase those packages. And,
into that, we actually ran, and then this is where it kind of started with the text broadcasting information this week. We ran a program where you go onto our website, wherever you get our information, you can actually sign up for specific deals within that area. And it's not something that tracks with you when you leave our area. So if you're here for 2 days, you sign up, you want to know what's kind of going on, you can get some deals, you would get those text messages. But once you're done, you don't continue to get those.
Okay.
So it was an easy way for us to have somebody engage, solicit the information that they wanted, and then we could put out to whoever is signed up for these different links. If you want the food information, the restaurants, you got those deals and you can use them. And then it just went on. But it was a really interesting program. I think it went with pretty good success for our initial trial that we did. And there's some creative ways of getting out these types of deals and messages and get people out there.
This is obviously something to move to City Council. Do you have any other questions?
We'll set it on the admin agenda.
He wants to bring people downtown.
Absolutely.
This is, we get people downtown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, if they have access to know that summer solstice is going on, or what's one of the ones does the Oktoberfest? Oktoberfest.
Yes.
This is how they find out about it. Unless you're here in our meetings, you know,
that's exactly
how you do it.
So, all right, anything else on this?
Nope.
Thanks. Can we do the AT&T one next?
Let's go.
Great.
So we're going to just go reverse order. We're moving to new business number 5, cell phone service proposal, AT&T.
Go ahead.
As a purchasing manager, I'm recommending that the village, not the village, but the city switches from Verizon to FirstNet, which is AT&T. So a little back history, in 2017, there was an RFP that went out government-wide. AT&T was awarded the first responders, kind of like broadband network. So FirstNet, AT&T has its own broadband network. No other cell phone service provider has this. With that said, since they provide their own network, the city will have its core network, meaning that we would have extended primary users, or primary users, which are our first responders. So say, for instance, there was a natural disaster or an emergency, that primary users list would get bumped up in that network for calling services and texting services. So the example that they have given me was for 9/11, where first responders were able to get their calls through and able to respond. And in this instance, our first responders would be able, they would have primary usage on their phone calls. With that, also, there's an extended primary users line where, say, our public works director or, Martin's, our city administrator, could be uploaded to that primary users line, whoever we choose to, so that that coverage can be, guaranteed. In the case of natural disasters or services knocked out, FirstNet can provide a deployable, which is a antenna on wheels that, or a satellite on wheels that has service for 1.5 mile radius for up to 12 hours of battery life. So that's another perk when it comes to FirstNet. FirstNet also offers the unlimited talk and text plans, but I feel like their service of prioritizing our first responders is most important. There is also a cost savings aspect to switching from Verizon to FirstNet. The bill would be about $100 cheaper per month with the annual savings of $1,200 if we switch from FirstNet. If we switch from Verizon to FirstNet, sorry. Any questions?
When we talk about the savings, that's our across the board, all phones incorporated.
Yeah, assuming we stick with the phones. I mean, obviously, if we increase the number of phones, our cost is going to go up. But yeah, we just wanted to make sure you knew about it. It's another service for disaster preparation, and response. And even though you don't have to vote on it, we thought it was a big enough deal to just make you aware of it.
And this is something that's been brought up time extensively, obviously, over the past several years. This has been brought forward and implemented. KenCom was part of it, as KenCom's receiving benefits of being first responder service, so they are on FirstNet in that aspect. So this is something that's been coming down the road for first responders, but for us to have it as our general service is not bad, because then we don't have the issue of interruption. Other service providers have the potential to, whether they are on it or not, if they're not on AT&T, they have potential for service interruption until it transfers into FirstNet. Mm-hmm. So that's something that we can work around. And just a little background on FirstNet, there is every phone bill that you pay, whether it's cell or landline, does pay into that. So some of this background infrastructure is paid locally through a surcharge that's put out there. So even though we're paying, what we're talking about is our actual citywide phones, the system is paid for via the surcharges per person. So
we're paying for it already. We are already paying for the service.
Now what we're able to get is the actual uninterrupted system, and we get the benefits like the emergency employee network, those kind of things. So there are some benefits. Cost savings are always nice. And as you mentioned, being barred,
we don't have to transfer the phones or get new phones and all this. We can expand as we go into it. It's not something that's going to have a major impact on us by the time adding new lines.
The program that we've bid out, we will be turning in the phone, getting new phones, phone numbers, and it'll be seamless.
But everything, we're not offering tons of cash for this.
Correct. They're actually providing a trade-in credit, giving us free phones, so,
Now, do all phone numbers transfer, or we use phone
numbers? I think all of them transfer.
Yeah, all of them will be transferred. They will come out as a team and schedule us accordingly to, drop off our phones, collect our new phones. They're including chargers and cases as well.
Yep. So I just want to make sure I understood it right. Mm-hmm. So they're providing new phones with no charge.
Correct. Yep. There's a base level phone. It's like a, Samsung Galaxy X9 or S9, so it's a couple years old, but we have that same program with Verizon. There's a base level, and then we can always upcharge if somebody needs a phone. Or people can pay extra and get their own upgraded phone with a $200 credit. So we have different internal policies on that too. But yeah, there should be no charge for almost all the phones that we're using in our city fleet.
And since this is a contract per phone, we don't have the $25,000 issue, so this is truly just informational as aggregate. It might hit the threshold, but not on an individual contract. Right?
Yep.
So it's information.
Yep.
All right. So this is going to go up to council just as an informational item.
Yep.
Going on consent, or you want it on the standard agenda?
Consent is fine with me.
All right, let's place that on consent.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Appreciate that. All right, I'm just going to go backwards. We're going to go to number 7, new business number 4, website reports.
We have a website. People visit it from time to time. The reports in the packets. I didn't get a chance to review with Erin. She couldn't make it tonight. It didn't sound like there was anything out of the ordinary, but I'm happy to take questions back to her if you had any specific ones.
Numbers year over year are actually up.
Yeah.
If they're in line with what they were, but they are slightly up, so that's actually nice to see. Hopefully that becomes the trend that are continuing to increase. So any questions or comments on the website report? All right. I'm going to let you go because I'm going to the cash statement, new business number 3, cash statement for November 2021.
Hey, as always, this is our cash balances at the end of the month for November 2021. Our cash balances are on the first page, and our investment balances are on the FDIC insured CDs on the second.
Any questions or comments on those? I love seeing those interest rates on that.
Mm-hmm.
0.06%?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Rob, you sound better for us. I know that, but. All right, that's informational. Any questions on that one? All right, new business number 2, treasurer's report for January 2022.
Beginning fund balance is $14,992,729. We have year-to-date revenues of $45,490,997. Year-to-date expenses of $32,738,995. For a projected ending fund balance of $27,744,731.
Questions or comments on that one? Yeah. That's pretty good. All right, that was another informational. Now we move to new business number 1, budget report for January 2022.
Yeah, so the big news is that sales tax continues to outperform. So I think the one that's not on the chart ended up being, was it another 35%?
Yeah, 36%. Yeah. Actually, 37% for municipal sales in February and 38% for non-municipal
sales. So that February report that we just got that's not on here is for November consumer sales.
Correct.
And it's 36% up the prior year, which is up probably another 20 or 30%. So some of that is from growth in consumer trends. Some of it you saw nationally that retail sales tend to trend more towards November rather than December. The message got out that there were supply chain issues, so people ordered their Christmas gifts sooner rather than later. And so, you know, we're reaping some of the benefits. So I would anticipate that the December consumer sales, which is the report that comes out in a few weeks in March, will be good because of all the sales tax sourcing rules, but you know, maybe a little bit down from where we might expect otherwise because more people are buying their Christmas gifts earlier. So our benchmark currently is through 5 months or 4 months of the, or it would be 3 months.
That'd be 4 months. So basically we're assuming a 10% growth rate for the actual proceeds we received
yep.
in March through June, which because of the accrual process actually comprises fiscal year.
And that benchmark as of your last analysis of money being dumped into the capital fund is like $380,000?
Yeah, 360, I think.
Okay.
In the general area. So and if we do better than 10% going forward for the next 4 months, that amount will increase.
Yeah. So we are dumping that money into capital now. It'll be part of our budget proposal, which if I had to guess, would probably be Friday, probably not tomorrow, although we're working diligently. We'll see what happens. And then that'll all be wrapped into our broader capital package.
Discuss that part. 360, what would we do with it?
It's easily spent, that's for sure. Yeah.
The good, talk in there right
the
there
good news is, and I'm tipping hats a little bit. I mean, like, we fully funded our city, our capital improvement plan. Like, we have the 5-year thing, and then it's usually got a bunch of stuff off. Like, all that between water, sewer, citywide capital is being funded. We're funding new things, parking lots, sidewalks, trail maintenance, things that we've historically kind of just ignored, you know, but there should be an annual amount in there. So it's pretty broadly spread, you know, so that we get in the habit, I think, of funding some of those things. So it's a very well-funded budget and a lot of money being spent on one-time expenditures. So.
All right. Any questions or comments on that from anybody? All right. That one does move to council for approval, consent. All right. I appreciate that. Business number one, budget report, or January 22.
Well, that was the budget report. Did I step on the... Did I go out of order? When I was talking about sales taxes, I was talking about the budget report. It is backwards day, though, so...
It is, so... Yes, we did cell phones, website, cash report, treasures. I was one line off the R. I read it as the business one, or two. It was actually the business one, so... That completes the agenda. Anybody have any old business? No? New did or additional?
No.
All right. Thank you. We can adjourn to 6:30.
Thank you.
So this should all go.